Hey, what's up, you guys? I'm Andrea.
And I'm Haley.
And you're listening to Inhuman, a true crime podcast.
Andrea's episode.
Yeah. So it'll be like flip-flop this week.
Yeah, I don't have my shit together and
okay.
Started researching a case and got super into it. And I thought I picked this case because I was like, oh, there's a ton of information on it. I'll be able to like compile it all. And because I didn't get my research started until way too close to when we were going to be recording. And we kind of needed to record a little bit earlier than normal because I'm going to Disneyland this weekend, so won't be able to record. So that's why we like needed to record early. And I got super deep into this case, and there's an entire podcast about it. So I started listening to that podcast and I was like, okay, I don't have time to get it done. So thankfully, Andrea saved my ass and is ready and has her shit together. So she's going to be doing our Monday episode. And then Thursday of this week, you guys will hear my episode, which it's a crazy one. Like, and I know Andrea's today is crazy too. And I'm so excited. So this week is just going to be like a crazy week of episodes.
Yeah. And they're kind of, well, they're not similar, but I don't
they
know.
Are a little bit.
They're
a little bit. They're like mysterious.
There's like parallels.
And yeah. Yeah.
But not the details are obviously the endings are different, but
right.
Yeah. Anyway, I won't give too much away.
Yeah.
Before we get into this episode, we just want to remind you guys to rate and review, subscribe, follow, help our podcast out as much as you can. Like we always tell you guys, we're trying to reach a goal by the end of the year and you guys are killing it. You're helping us so much, but we still need a little bit more. So make sure you head over to wherever you listen to podcasts and Apple, you can like rate us and review us and then follow us on Spotify or wherever else you listen.
It would mean the world to us. We're working really hard and we're really enjoying it. We're so appreciative to all of our listeners and we want to hear what you guys think. And so any feedback that you guys have, you can leave in the reviews. And if you do enjoy listening, if you wouldn't mind giving us however many stars you think we deserve, you don't even have to write a review. You can just tap the number of stars. So that would mean the world to us. So if you have a second while you're listening, you could go do that. We will love you forever.
Yeah, you can do it while you're listening.
Exactly.
Okay, so today's case, I'm going to be covering the mysterious, unsolved disappearance of Bryce Laspisa. It's a hard one
this
to say.
This one is fucking nuts.
Yeah.
I like, honestly, I didn't think about it till you mentioned it the other day, but this is one that I'm like, I need to know what happened. Like,
yeah.
Oh, it's so crazy.
It is. And it's none of it adds up. And there's, I'll get to it at the end, but there's like so many crazy theories and it just doesn't add up. It just doesn't make sense as to like what happened to him.
No, it doesn't.
So Bryce Laspisa was 19 years old when he mysteriously went missing. He literally just vanished into thin air. He was a student at Sierra College in Northern California, and he was driving home to visit his family in Laguna Niguel, California at the time of his disappearance. Laguna Niguel, I have no idea where that is, but I'm assuming it's near the beach.
I'm going to look it up because
okay.
I'm really bad with like directions and stuff. So I don't know where it is either, but.
Cause I was thinking like Laguna Beach, like the,
it is,
know, the
yeah.
show.
Yeah. It's right near Laguna Beach. It's about 40 miles south from where I live, in the Los Angeles area. So it's south of Anaheim and it's along the beach. And it's almost down to like Oceanside and Carlsbad, which is San Diego area.
Okay.
So basically it's like halfway between Los Angeles and San Diego.
Okay. All right. It gives me a visual.
Right. And where did you say his college was?
He goes to, he went to Sierra College in Northern California.
How far it is?
I think it was like 3 or 4 hours from his home.
This says Sierra College Boulevard to Laguna Niguel is a 7-hour drive.
Oh, 7 hours? Dang. Okay.
Although, I wonder if there's a different Sierra College, but this is Sierra College Boulevard, so I would guess that's where he went.
I would assume that's where it's at.
Yeah. If it says the college is in Northern California, that's where this one is. It's like a little bit northeast of San Francisco. And so that would make sense that it's about 7 hours down to Laguna Niguel.
Okay. So he had been in touch with his mother the night that he went missing, and he had called her at 2 a.m. saying that he was exhausted and he would be pulling over to get some rest, and that he was planning to call her like when he woke up. So I guess he meant like he was going to pull over and sleep in his car or possibly maybe get a hotel room. He didn't specify, but that he did tell her he would give her a call once he was back on the road.
Okay. And that, I mean, that makes sense. Like if you're that tired, it's smart to pull over and not keep driving.
However, his mother never heard from her son again. His 2003 Toyota Highlander was found abandoned in a ravine off Lake Hughes Road near Castaic Lake a few hours later, lying on its side in the rear window. So like if you think like an SUV has like the back, you know, where the hatch is,
right.
Was completely smashed.
And I don't really remember anything about this case. So if I saw that, I would think he ran off the road accidentally and then smashed the window out to get out.
Exactly. So it was the car was laying on its side on the driver's side. So he would have, you know, essentially he would have had to crawl through to the back of the car and and smash the window out. Because there's I mean, back then there was probably no latch to get out from the inside.
Right.
The odd thing was, though, his phone, his wallet, his laptop, and other belongings were still inside the vehicle, but there was no sign of Bryce.
I mean, okay, I feel like that is suspicious, but also to play devil's advocate, like, if you just got into a bad car crash and your phone wasn't, like, in your wallet, or in your wallet, oh my God, in your, like, pocket or something where you had it on you, I could see why you might like leave it there because you're like, oh my God, I'm hurt. I need to just like go and get help and like go up to the road and get help. But also knowing that like what else is coming up in the case, it is kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, I can say speaking from experience, Manny and I were in a car accident on his like first birthday and I was unable to get out of my driver's door. It was completely like crushed, like wedged shut. So I left my phone, my shoes, I like jumped through the seats and into the back, got him out and then got myself out. And I was literally walking on glass, like did not, was completely like adrenaline rush, you know, and I did not think to grab my phone. Like the firefighters had to grab my phone for me. So yeah, it makes sense, but it's not too out of the ordinary to be like, oh, I should grab everything that is, you know, all my belongings to leave this car behind.
Right.
So who is Bryce Laspisa? Bryce was born on April 30th, 1994 to Mike and Karen. He was actually raised in the Chicago suburbs of Illinois and graduated from Naperville Central High School in 2012.
I've heard of Naperville and I've been to Naperville.
You have been to Naperville?
Yeah, I have. When I was in college in Indiana, we like, I was part of the program that like was like the recruiting, you know, I was an ambassador for the business school. So like we would talk to students who were prospective students and we had one of our events in Naperville.
Oh, cool. That's really cool. I was listening to another case and it was talking about Naperville, but I can't remember what case it was. But,
oh, really? Yeah. I think it's one of the bigger suburbs of Chicago.
Okay. That makes sense. So when his parents retired, the family moved to Laguna Niguel, California, and Bryce, as I mentioned before, was attending Sierra College and was about to enter his sophomore year at the time of his disappearance. So Bryce had bright red hair, he had these beautiful green eyes, and he had like the most amazing smile that literally could like turn your whole day around. Like he was such a little cutie. And he just had like the nicest, like biggest white teeth. Teeth are such a big thing for me. So that's like when I was looking at his pictures, I was like, oh, he has such a nice smile.
Aw.
By all accounts, Bryce had a normal childhood and was loved and supported by his parents. And he was a good kid. He did well in school. He had gotten really good grades the year before, his freshman year of college. And he had recently, well, not recently, but he had gotten a girlfriend who he seemingly adored named Kim Sly. From all accounts, they had a good relationship with little to no issues, and it appeared that they were both quite smitten with one another. However, reports state that Bryce began acting odd about 2 weeks leading up to his disappearance.
That's never good.
Yeah. And, you know, he was like a normal kid. Like, I don't know, like, you know, maybe in high school he partied a little bit, drank a little bit. I don't know. There wasn't a lot of details as far as that. But leading up to this, there was like a lot of like uncharacteristic behavior for him.
Okay.
So for starters, his girlfriend, Kim, stated that he had called her saying that she was too good for him and that he didn't deserve her. And she asked him, does this mean that you're breaking up with me? And he replied, yes. There was literally like no issues between them. They hadn't gotten into a fight. Like everything seemed normal. So this was really like surprising and alarming to Kim.
Right.
There were also reports from his friends and roommate that Bryce was drinking heavily and using drugs, specifically ADHD medication, which a lot of those are like amphetamine type drugs, and they like hype you up and they can really make you act like not yourself.
Right.
And like I mentioned, this was all like really out of character for him. The day that Bryce had broken up with Kim, she decided to confront him face to face because she wanted to know why he was doing this. And after they spoke, he drove her home. And evidently she lived like her actual home was like several hours away from the campus. And she said that like during this whole encounter, his behavior was very odd.
It's weird.
Yeah. Like, you know, your, especially your boyfriend, like if they start acting out of sorts, like you're like, what's going on with you?
Right. You can tell when somebody you've been with for a while isn't acting themselves.
Yeah. So Bryce's roommate, Sean Dixon, claimed that Bryce had taken the drug Vyvanse, which, like I said, is an ADHD medication. And he would use that to, like, stay awake and play video games all night. He mentioned that he had also been drinking, like, hard alcohol throughout the day. So I take that as, like, he was drinking liquor, you know?
Right.
Like, all day long. Instead of, like, you know, partying with friends and, like, drinking, which is, you know, maybe not normal for some. But when you're in college, like, I feel like that's kind of normal to do, like,
on the weekends. Yeah, that's not the weirdest thing.
No. It was also reported that Bryce had given away some of his personal belongings to friends, including diamond earrings that he had gotten from his mother and his gaming console. So both of those are like that's pretty weird. Big deals. Yeah. Like those are things that I would think that you would not want to give away. Like maybe sell them if you're in a pinch for money or something, but to just give those away without any rhyme or reason, like that's very odd behavior.
Especially if you're taking ADHD meds to be able to stay up to play video games and then you give away your video game console, like that.
Yeah. Doesn't add up.
Sound. Yeah.
Right. Let me take another drink. Hold on.
Okay. I have a iced chai with pumpkin cold foam.
Yeah, that sounds
officially
good.
Fall.
Yeah. I have a Calypso lemonade.
That sounds really good, actually.
They are really good. Well, I got two of them. I got the strawberry lemonade and I got this other flavor, but I did not like the other flavor. So I was like, Matt, you can have this.
I love strawberry lemonade. I think I like it better than regular lemonade.
Same. Absolutely same. I wish Chick-fil-A would figure out a way to make strawberry lemonade because they have the best lemonade.
That would be so good.
I feel like they could do it because they have like strawberry puree that they put in their shakes.
Oh, so like they could totally do it. Strawberry lemonade.
I don't know. We used to do that when I worked there. I know. Chick-fil-A, get it together. Anyway.
I know. Chick-fil-A, if you're listening, make strawberry lemonade, please.
Yeah. There's a stupid gnat. I killed one gnat and now there's another.
Every time we recorded, you have a gnat in there with you.
Gosh, dang it.
He just wants to hear your stories.
He probably just, like, smells the lemonade on my breath.
No, I think he's just really interested in your stories and wants to.
He's a true crime junkie. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, now that that tangent is over.
So to me, the fact that he was like giving away like his personal belongings, like that just made me like in a way think that he was maybe preparing to take his own life. I know that seems like a jump, but it just seems like you said, it didn't add up. Like you're staying awake all night to play video games and then you give away your console.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So some could assume as such, but also we have to take into consideration that he was making these decisions under the influence of alcohol and possibly prescription drugs that were not prescribed to him, which could be causing like a reaction, or he could have been in a state of alcohol or drug induced psychosis. Cause like ADHD medication, like I said, it's like an amphetamine. So it can make you stay up for days. Like you can have delusions, you can see things that are not there. Like it could definitely induce psychosis, I think.
If you're on the medication and not sleeping can also make you have some of those like delusions and stuff like that. So like it might just be like maybe it just was an accident and he was like taking the medication to stay up so he could play video games, and then it just like caused a spiral effect.
And it's very addictive. So like if he was, you know, somebody gave it to him or whatever, he was purchasing it, whatever the case was. I know he was not prescribed it. And he could have just been like addicted to it and overusing it.
Right.
And, you know, when you're prescribed these medications, like as a patient, they're giving you the dosage that they think that you need. So if you're a person who is not prescribed them and you're abusing them and taking way too much, like, yeah, it's messing with your chemistry of your brain big time.
Right. Like that's not a good thing to be getting into.
No.
And you just don't know what it can do to you.
Yeah. So all of this clearly is speculation, but I thought that there were valid points that needed to be made nonetheless.
It's definitely something that, you know, somebody who disappears, you need to look at what was happening beforehand.
Mm-hmm. All of it and take it all into consideration.
Yeah.
So Sean, Bryce's roommate, called Bryce's mother to express his concerns. He told Karen that Bryce was acting out of character and that he had broken up with Kim via text the previous night, telling her that she would, quote, be better off without him.
And this is before he went missing.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So this was like when she, like he texted her the other stuff that I already mentioned, and then she wanted to like see him face to face. Like he also said like she would be better off without him. He also said that Bryce had said that something was bothering him, but he never fully explained what that something was.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah. And there's a couple other little details like this that make me think, you know, I have so many different theories that I think could possibly be like what happened to him. So just keep that in your back pocket for now.
Okay.
So a couple hours later, Bryce actually called his mom himself. Despite breaking up with Kim the night before, like I said, he had driven her home to Chico, California,
Okay,
which was about a 90-mile drive, so an hour and a half, not 3 hours. What did I say before? Did I say 3 hours?
I think you just said a couple hours.
Okay, so it was like an hour and a half away. Bryce insisted to his mom that he was okay, but Kim actually got on the phone and told Karen that Bryce was not acting like himself. And she did not think that he should be driving.
Okay.
But again, Bryce reassured his mom, everything's fine. You know, I'll let you guys know what's going on. And Karen told Kim to give him back his keys. Mm. Karen also offered to drive up, I guess, and visit Bryce the next day. And he told her that he did want to speak with her, but urged her not to make the drive to meet him. He did not specify, like I mentioned before, what he wanted to talk about her specifically, but that there was something that he did want to talk about. And after their conversation, like I said, Kim got back on the phone and Karen told her to give Bryce back his keys, but it was only because Bryce promised to call her the next morning to check in and make sure everything was okay. So I get that. Like, that's a hard, like there, when I was doing my research, like a lot of the sources were like, why would his mom tell her to give him back his keys? Like, why wouldn't she want her to like make him stay there and like you know, if he was on something, sober up or get some rest or whatever the case was. But when you have your kid on the phone, he's reassuring you everything's fine. Oh, yeah, mom, I'll call you in the morning. You want to give them the benefit of the doubt, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't blame them at all for that. Like, especially when somebody's super insistent, like, no, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. You can only do so much. Like, he's an adult.
Exactly.
You can't. It's not like a kid where you can be like, nope, you're not going anywhere because I control you. Like,
right.
I mean, it's heartbreaking that, like, knowing that that decision might have saved his life.
Yeah.
As you know, they knew it. But at the same time, like, you can't assume that just if they had not done that, if they had kept his keys, that something like this wouldn't have happened.
Right. It still could have happened. Yeah. And he could have waited till she fell asleep and then left anyway. Right. You know?
Exactly.
Especially if he was, like, up on ADHD medication. And also, like, this was not like him. So, you know, he didn't have a history of drug use. He didn't have a history of, like, acting out of character or, like, going AWOL and, you know, disappearing and not talking to his family for days on end. Like, give him the benefit of the doubt, you know? I understand why she did that. So around midnight on August 29th, 2013, his parents were notified by their credit card company that a card in their name that was in Bryce's possession had been used for roadside service in Button Willow, California, which was located off Interstate 5. His parents thought Bryce must have decided to drive back home to visit his family in Laguna Niguel, which from that area was about 3.5 hours. Like, you know, 3.5 hours away. Right.
Also, it's really funny that you said, like, Interstate 5, because in California, like, we always call our, like, our freeways are just, like, the 5, the 405. No, we don't even use I. It's, like, I was driving on the 5. And so it was just, like, funny hearing you say, like, Interstate 5.
Interstate 5 that you're driving down.
It's a California thing, you know, we're weirdos over here.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because when I used to listen to My Favorite Murder, they're from California and they would say the 5. And I'd be like, what are they talking about?
I didn't even realize it was a thing that we did until I went to school in Indiana. And I would say, like, oh, I was driving on, or have you seen the traffic on the 405? And people would be like, what? Like, what are you talking about?
You mean that interstate?
Yeah.
And see, we say, like, highway. We don't even say interstate here. We're just like highway 85, highway 95.
Right. In Indiana, it was all like I-65 was the way that.
That's how Virginia was too.
Okay.
I-95. And it's
like, even out here, we have Pacific Coast Highway, but we just call it PCH. Like, that's what locals call it. And one of my friends was talking about how she went on, like, a family vacation to California and drove on the Pacific Coast Highway. And I was just like, wait, people don't refer to it as PCH. Like, it's just so funny, depending on where you live, like, you call things different.
I love it.
Yeah, me too.
Karen grew, you know, as any mother would, more concerned for Bryce's well-being after he never made it to their home, because it had been, like, several hours and he definitely should have made it there by that time.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Freaking out a little bit, I'm sure.
Yeah. So she actually did call the Orange County Sheriff's Department around 6 p.m. and they patrolled the area, and they eventually did find Bryce 8 miles away from the location that he had been serviced for the gas in Button Willow. So from midnight to 6 p.m. the following day, he had only made it 8 miles.
Wow.
Yeah. Which, like, part of me was like, well, what if he did pull over and go to sleep? Maybe he went, maybe he did fall asleep, but we'll see in a minute. That's not what happened. So the police did give Bryce a sobriety test, which he passed, and Bryce reluctantly called his mother, which one of the sources I read, and I don't know if it's true, but said that he was, like, so reluctant. Like, he was like, no, I don't want to call her. No, I don't want to call her. The police grabbed his phone and actually dialed, like, mom, and, like, made him do it. I don't know how true that is, but I thought that was kind of funny to include that if it is true.
Yeah, they were like, no, you have to call her.
Yeah, like, your mom is worried sick about you, dude. Like, do not make her worry. Call your mother.
And this is, I mean, this is probably a stupid question, but, like, he was just tested for, like, alcohol in the system, right? No, like, drugs or anything?
No, I don't think there's any, like, field sobriety that they can do for drugs, but they can do, like, a pupil dilation test with, like, a light, and they can tell to a certain extent if you're on drugs based on like how your pupils react to the light. I assume they did that. It didn't say, it just said like a sobriety test, but he passed it. So, and he also claimed to be sober. He told them like, no, I'm not on any drugs. I'm not drinking, you know, whatever. Like, I'm
but
sober.
Likely if there was a, if there were drugs in his system, not likely, but possibly it was not, they couldn't, they wouldn't really be able to determine that right on the spot there.
No. And they did search his vehicle and they didn't find any drugs in the car either, or alcohol or anything. So, but you know, that's not to say it wasn't in his system.
Right.
Like I said, Bryce reluctantly called his mother and reassured her that he was coming back. As I mentioned earlier, on August 30th, 2013, Karen received a call from Bryce around 2 a.m. He told her that he was too tired to drive. So this was after, this was 2 a.m. after he had gotten found by the police around 6.
So he literally went like, he went 8 miles. And then after that, however many hours later, still called his mom and was like, no, I'm not going to be home yet.
Right.
I am too tired. Okay.
Exactly. He told her that he was going to pull over for the night. And at that point, Bryce had been awake, you know, from all accounts, had been awake for almost 48 hours. So, of course, Karen did not argue with Bryce's decision to pull over and get some sleep because, I mean, you can't drive like that.
No.
But as we know, Bryce did not return home and he was never seen or heard from again. So after they found his vehicle in the ravine on its side with the window busted out, an extensive search began around the area where the car was abandoned. Like, we, you know, compiled, whatever you want to say. The police believed that Bryce had been in the vehicle when it crashed and that he escaped by breaking out the back window. As I mentioned before, the back window was busted out and there was blood on the passenger headrest and on the back seat. So to me, that says he put his hand on the headrest to go through the seats to the back seat and then proceeded to the very back of the vehicle.
Right.
However, it was not enough blood to lead investigators that, you know, to believe that he was severely injured, you know, so it's probably just like small amounts of blood, just little, you know, handprints or knee prints or whatever.
Right.
His parents stated that he was unfamiliar with the area he disappeared from and he did not care for hitchhiking or doing any kind of outdoor pursuit. So it would be completely out of character for him to take off without seeking help, which, as we know, everything that he did in those like 2 weeks was out of character.
Yeah, definitely.
But there were no witnesses. So no one came forward saying that, you know, this young man with red hair, green eyes, big bright smile, you know, was seeking any help from them. So volunteers, rescue teams, search dogs, police divers, all searched for any sign of Bryce, but not a shred of evidence was found at all. Even after more than 2 weeks of searching, which is like so crazy. Like,
yeah,
no footprints, no blood trail, like nothing.
Yeah.
And you know, this kid, like I said, he had bright red hair. Like, I feel like if somebody saw him, they would know who he was right away.
Right. He definitely would have stood out.
Yeah. He wasn't like a, you know, brown-haired person walking around, you know, because that's pretty average, I feel like.
Yeah.
So, like I mentioned before, surveillance footage, or I didn't really mention, but I was leading to mentioning it. Surveillance footage near the ravine off Lake Hughes Road captured his car on 2 separate occasions. One on August 30th at 2:15 a.m. and the other one around 4:29 a.m. The first picture was taken just 7 minutes after Bryce made the call to his mother on that day when he claimed to be pulling over to rest. So it appears, based on like the direction that his car was going, that he like basically drove in one direction, and then when it was seen again the second time, he was driving back in the opposite direction.
That's really weird.
Yeah. And there was also some reports that during that time frame, he had stopped at a local gas station to get more gas, which I'm like, you already got, I mean, yeah, it was like the day before, like earlier in the day or at midnight. So like, I guess if you're just driving around aimlessly back and forth, like, yes, you could have ran out a full tank of gas. I don't know.
Maybe, but yeah, that's really weird.
Yeah. So police found no evidence or motive of foul play in Bryce's disappearance. There were also no indications that he died by suicide since no body had been found around the area he disappeared. Because that was what I was thinking. I was like, maybe he did have like a mental break and he did go off and like, you know, commit suicide. But where's his body? You know, like right. If it was there, even if it was in the lake, I mean, they had divers to search the lake and they didn't find anything.
Right. And it's not like it was one of those lakes that were like insanely deep where you wouldn't be able to find something.
Yeah. So in the midst of the search, Los Angeles County firefighters responded nearby to tackle a brush fire that was discovered near the lake. And to everyone's horror, the cause of the blaze was determined to be a burning body.
Oh my God, wait, I haven't heard this.
So the body was determined to be that of 35-year-old LaMondre Dion Miles. The South Los Angeles man's corpse had been, quote, riddled with bullets during a fight over his failure to pay a debt before he was dumped and set ablaze.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So that's the call that the firefighters were responding to in the midst of, you know, volunteers and search parties looking for Bryce.
Right.
I would be, if I was his mother, I would have been a nervous freaking wreck.
Yeah. Would have been freaking out.
So fortunately for them, though, the body was not Bryce's, but also still no resolution. Karen and Michael, which are Bryce's parents, along with investigators, because of this incident, wondered whether or not their son may have stumbled upon something that he was not supposed to see and became a murder victim himself.
Right.
Which is one of the theories that is out there. Although there is no proof of this theory one way or another, it's still a good theory.
Yeah.
Because if you're like scared for your life and you're like stressed out and you're drinking and you're doing drugs and you're getting rid of your stuff and you're trying to like vanish without a trace, like, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
So with no new leads and no sign of Bryce, the search was officially called off after 3 weeks. Although volunteers continued to donate their time to look for Bryce and police continued to carry out patrols of the area. During their investigation, while interviewing Bryce's roommate, Sean, the one that we mentioned before, they learned that on the same night that Bryce left, he texted Sean and told him, quote, "I love you, bro. Seriously, you're the best person I've ever met and you saved my soul."
Oh my gosh.
Right.
It's a little ominous.
It is. It's like a goodbye message, kind of.
Yeah.
So in most situations, people who are contemplating suicide will give away their belongings and write heartfelt letters to their friends, family, and loved ones. But Sean said he didn't think that Bryce wanted to die or that he never planned on coming back. Sean told investigators he thought Bryce just went off on his own to find himself and that he expected him to be back by Labor Day.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he had some insight that we didn't.
Maybe that it was like, because Labor Day is kind of like the start of the school year, maybe. So maybe like classes were starting or something.
Yeah. To this day, Bryce's case remains unsolved. The circumstances of his disappearance remain unclear. And his case is currently classified as missing. There are a plethora of theories out there as to what happened to Bryce. Some that we have mentioned, a psychotic break, suicide. He willingly left, but was later met with foul play. The list goes on. There's just so many out there. There's so many questions, so many unanswered questions from family, friends, and people that don't even know him that are just invested in this case.
Yeah.
Currently, a $5,000 reward is being offered by the family for any information leading to the safe return of their son, Bryce. I personally hope Bryce's whereabouts are uncovered and we can finally solve the mystery of what really happened to Bryce Laspisa. That is the crazy unsolved story about poor Bryce.
That's just, it's just like, so, it's just weird.
It is. It is really weird. And I have known people who have gotten addicted to ADHD medications and I have seen their like whole personality change and like, you know, they're just so focused on that and like getting to the next, you know, just like with a lot of drugs, like you just focus on that drug and just getting to the next high and like,
right.
Like the fact that he like wasn't sleeping and like I mean, all those things could add up to like a psychotic break or something. Yeah. But going back to the theory about like him possibly being involved in something that he shouldn't have been involved in. And maybe they're, because I mean, if somebody wants to, like, he could have been being chased, you know, he could have been being followed when he wrecked. Someone could have like, you know, ran him off the road and then chased him down and took him and disposed right. of him elsewhere. Like, there are just endless possibilities. Like, I really hope that he is alive somewhere and that, you know, it's 2013 to now. I mean, that's so many years to have no answers.
Right. And I mean, even like you said, he was getting drugs that weren't prescribed to him, and you never know, like, that's usually some shady stuff. So maybe something happened. Yeah. It's really hard to believe that if he was killed somehow, whether it be by himself, by somebody else, by just like natural causes, if he like got into the car accident and then was hurt and couldn't get help in time, whatever it may be, it's really hard to believe that his body would just not be anywhere.
Yeah, that's what I have the hard thing about, you know, thinking that it was a psychotic break or suicide or something like that, because his body would be in that vicinity, you know,
right?
Even if he walked for miles and miles and miles and then decided, okay, this is a good spot, like, they still would have found, somebody would have found him.
Right. Wow. That's such a crazy case.
I know. And I'm going to like keep my eyes peeled to see if there's any updates, just like, you know, I've said I was going to do with the Kendrick Johnson case, because his case is mm-hmm. reopened. So I'm definitely going to be keeping my eyes peeled for Bryce's case too, just to see if there is finally some resolution on it. So I will have pictures posted of Bryce and his family, and there's like a map of the road that he was driving down and like where his car was found. I'll include that. And also, like, you know, a phone number if there's any information that you have leading to any, you know, any information leading to the return or whatever of Bryce.
Yeah, I mean, and these are the important ones to share. These are the ones that really need to be seen and shared, yeah, and stuff like that. Absolutely. Because you just never know.
I know. That's exactly right. I think that's why we keep gravitating towards these kind of cases, for that reason. Because, like, yeah, of course, we'll cover cases that are solved or cases that, you know, are very black and white and have, like, a clear resolution. But I think it's really important to keep sharing these cases that are still unsolved and open and cold and,
yeah,
you know, all that. So, but like I said, I'll post those pictures on Instagram. You can follow us at @inhuman_podcast. Like we stated at the... Ooh, on my face? Really? Ugh. Sorry. Like we stated at the top of the episode, make sure you rate and review us. Leave us a little 5-star review.
If you so desire.
Yeah. You know, wherever you listen to podcasts, follow, subscribe. Check us out on Facebook at Inhuman Podcast. Check us out on TikTok at Inhuman Podcast and Twitter at @Inhuman_podcast.
We're also, I'm like posting updates on Twitter mostly about the Kristen Smart case, yes, because Paul Flores is currently in trial. Like the preliminary trial is currently happening. Yes. So if you guys heard our episode on that case, those updates come on our Twitter. Sometimes I'll post some on Instagram as well, but
yeah,
mostly on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see the outcome of that case as well.
Just from the preliminary trial, it is like crazy how much the defense is trying to like bring in. So it's gonna be an interesting one, and I'm definitely going to do like a full episode update on it, but I'll probably wait until the trial's over so I can like read as much of the trial transcript and stuff that I can, and yeah, do like a full update instead of just doing like a mini update.
Yeah. It'll be good to like have that resolution, have hopefully. It closed. Hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully. I mean, gosh,
I know
it's been too long, but we want to thank you guys so much for listening. And as always, keep it human.
Bye.